Hey, we have a walking, talking, standing miracle before us in the studio today.
What a blessing this is going to be, folks.
Wow.
What a blessing.
Yeah. You know, sometimes we just like to have good stories to tell you, good faith stories, testimonies, and today is a story that you'll long remember.
Isn't that what we always say on mornings?
I don't think we always say
that. Huh?
Sometimes we just hope it's one you'll like and remember.
There's nothing better than a good story. Isn't that what we say?
Oh, we always say
okay.
that. Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give you our toll-free number because this story, you might want to call and ask some questions and help us interview her. Our toll-free number is 1-877-TALK-159. It is a terrific Tuesday, and you will be grateful for every breath you take after you hear the story of Patty Foster. Now, she's an old radio hand.
And you know Patty, right? You've known Patty?
No, not really. We've talked on the phone, but here's the small world connection. My speech coach in high school is a wonderful, wonderful woman, and she took us to Jacksonville, Texas when we were probably seniors.
What a large place to
go
to.
Well, she wanted us to go to a speech tournament in Longview, but we had by her and meet her parents and see Jacksonville, because we were from the big city. She was afraid that we would never know what a small Texas town looked like. So I remember the tomato bowl, right, Patty?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So Patty is from Jacksonville, Texas.
What a great mind you have.
She knows Debbie Foster's mother. No relation. Debbie married Glenn Foster, who's a pastor in Tucson, Arizona.
What a super name.
What a great name. So does Mrs. Carroll go to your church?
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
Patty Foster, who's in the studio with us today, goes to church with my high school speech teacher. And I've been out of high school like 20-something years, folks.
Put it together.
So I stayed in touch with Debbie. Debbie says, oh, my mother wants you to know about Patty Foster. And when I read Patty's story, I said, we got to have Patty on the show.
Wow. And you say all that to say it's a small world, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, took me a while,
yeah.
didn't it?
let's welcome Patty to the show. We've got her mic up. And Patty, thank you so much for joining us this
thank
morning.
Thank you. Great time to be
and
here.
And you drove in all the way from Jacksonville to be here. Thank you.
Certainly did. Super time. Good drive. But I have wonderful friends in Dallas who take good care of me. And, of course, I always visit people. So much happens in a short time.
Well, good, good. Mm-hmm. So why don't you just go ahead and tell everybody your story. Start from the beginning.
All right. From the beginning, let us see what happened. Back, it was on the wonderful day of June 18th, 2002, just a few years ago. For years, I've been in radio, of course, the way we talked at the beginning, all of my life, right, O? And down in Texas and Louisiana, up in Michigan and Indiana, and do lots of voiceover. So that's been my life and my heartbeat. Okay, and through having been in radio for so long, I got into leading a Bible study for ladies in the East Texas area. Well, we were meeting each week on Monday nights, and as we were meeting, we decided we needed to take a summer break. They wanted to take that time and be with their family and their friends. So we were going to our last meeting before taking that wonderful summer break. It was a Tuesday night for this night, particularly because some of the ladies were on a trip to New York City for their senior trip, actually. And one of the ladies was a chaperone, and one of the others was actually one of the students. So we were on our way to Tyler to the Bible study meeting, and we were at an intersection. It was a busy time of the evening when people were getting off of work, going home, picking up kids, going to dinner, and so many things to do. We're at a red light at the intersection, stopped completely still, mind you, and suddenly I had taken off my seatbelt to turn and to look at some flowers that I bought for all the ladies in the Bible study, and apparently that is when impact happened. And no one saw, I don't remember anything from that point on until months later. But apparently what happened is a semi pulling a trailer full of cars going full speed ran right into the back of us, and we were completely still. Mm. And so it completely jolted us into another sphere of life. And the four of us, our lives changed instantly and took a long time in healing. In fact, to this very day, until the day I die, my whole brain, body, and mentality and emotions and all will be in a series of recovery until the last day. So it's very miraculous that I am alive and that I'm able to do what I'm doing, because it's completely opposite of everything that we were told and that the doctors told my family. So I'm a blessed little cheeky chick, as I say, that I am able to live this miracle.
Because your body actually went head first through the roof of the vehicle. Am I correct?
Very close. It actually went through. In fact, you can envision this with me. I was sitting behind the driver of a Tahoe, okay. And when I turned and looked at the flowers apparently behind me, that's when impact happened. And the hit, the impact was so rapid that it threw my body out of the back opposite side of the Tahoe through the panel that was not designed to be open. And my head and body hit it in such an impact and speed that it knocked me out and threw me into the air. And from there, life changed.
Wow.
Now, Patty, one of the things then, and certainly you had physical issues and injuries, but your brain was severely affected as well. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
TBI is when I suffered traumatic brain injury, and that, Scott, was a closed-head injury. And I have read, there are several different authors who are very well-respected by lots of traumatic brain injury doctors and surgeons. And one of the leading authors is William Winslade. He's actually a professor down at UTMB at Galveston, which is University of Texas Medical Branch. He is well-respected in his statistics and everything involved. And he has said that, especially with a closed head injury accident and traumatic brain injury, that patient will, if in a coma for more than a few days, will experience irreversible personality changes. It's amazing what, and in fact, I could just throw a few stats at you, is that through the BIA, which is the Brain Injury Association, that they have said that over 2 million Americans suffer TBI annually. Then out of those, of course, you've got over 300,000 who require acute hospitalization, right, Ol? And then from there, 60,000 will die from that TBI, and another 2,000 will remain in a persistent vegetative state.
Mm.
Okay, those are stats from 98. How much of those changed now? It's amazing.
Because this is probably an ongoing, where we're learning new
growing
things every day.
Very much like a silent epidemic, which is growing more and more.
Well, you said you didn't even have any memories until months later.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about your rehab process and your injury. Any more physical injuries?
Completely. Yeah. It was TBI, traumatic brain injury, plus multiple injuries all over my body, literally from the top of my head to the tip of my toes, all over, with deep lacerations and abrasions and fractures and everything. In fact, I don't know how grotesquely accurate you like me to speak on the details, but my eyes and my face were out of place. Things were basically got show and tell time.
Look fabulous.
Yeah,
now.
I was going to say, Patty, to look at you today, one would not.
You don't have any visible scars.
Right,
that
one
we
would
can
not
see.
Know.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Dr. James Holton would so love you. He is a wonderful plastic surgeon.
Well, he did a good job.
Together. Thank you.
Now, what about the other women in the vehicle? Were they injured as badly as you were?
Yes. One of them, my sweet friend, there were four of us, and one lady was. I was the only one ejected from the Tahoe. One lady was thrown to the rear of the Tahoe and with nerve damage, which is forevermore going on. And then the lady who was driving was able to recover quickly with minor injuries. But the lady in the front passenger seat, her name was Heather. She and I were the most badly injured. Apparently at the site, it had such a great impact that it separated her spinal cord.
Oh.
And they thought that they could recover her at the site or in addition afterwards, but things happened differently. And at the actual site scene of the accident, the Air One helicopter landed and took both Heather and me together to hospital because they didn't think that they would make it. In fact, I've talked with people who worked the scene and said they thought that I was dead at the scene, and they had said, okay, just go to someone else. If she's not dead, she will die in seconds.
Oh.
She will be gone in seconds. And it shows what God can do and what his plans are, that he does have a plan, and he was not finished yet with what his purposes were and what he planned to fulfill in the time and the life of that little lady named Patty Foster.
Wow. Wow. Mm. Were you ever mad or angry? Maybe angry at the driver who ran into you?
No, I never went through the anger of being mad at him for having hit us. my strongest thing with him, and really got really strong when I saw him at the trial, is just a prayer for God to save him, to impact him and save him for what has happened, what he's done, because I wasn't the only one. He had caused so many wrecks beforehand, injured people, taken lives. So there's a strong impacting and drive in me that God would do whatever it takes to get his attention and get through to him.
And your story is really a way to show how God works miracles.
True. Amen.
Because you shouldn't be standing here.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I give away what I've been given. What he has brought me back to, so be it. I'm open-handed palms up, as Corrie ten Boom would say.
And you are going around and speaking at churches, at events. That's how you make your living now.
Righto.
You're writing books, and we want to give everybody your website. It's Patty with an I, P-A-T-T-I, PattyFoster.com. And your new book is called Getting Things Done. Patty, we're going to talk to you more after the break.
Great.
And hear more of your story. Wow.
Man, and listeners, if you have a question or a comment for Patty, of course, always give us a call, 877-TALK-159.
Or you can send us an email, mornings@familynetradio.com. And if this story is making you feel like you need to talk to somebody in a maybe a little bit stronger message, remember our hope line. That number's 1-866-701-HOPE, H-O-P-E.
Stay with us. Back in 2 minutes. Trust him now and with every breath. You never know when that may be your last. And it's 15 minutes past the hour. And Patty, you thought you had taken your last breath.
Definitely. Certainly did.
So they rescue you thinking that you're going to die any second, the first responders, but you go into a coma. You're in a coma. How long were you in the coma?
I was in the coma for 6 weeks.
Wow.
And, you know, I remember nothing of the accident. I don't remember the impact or having seen the truck coming toward us or anything like that, hearing noises, nothing. I remember nothing of it. I went into the coma and lost everything. And I came out of the coma some 6 weeks later, of course, and I was at Baylor Rehab in Dallas. And they're the ones who taught me how to live again. They taught me how to the breathing started to come back. They taught me how to chew, how to swallow, how to walk, how to talk, use my fine motor skills, how to see out of my right eye again, how to balance and walk and think and try and concentrate. Everything they taught me to do again, God used them in a vital way to teach me again. So it's very true that though the body may look normal, the brain isn't normal because brain cells don't recover. They don't come back alive. They don't go into remission. You simply have spare brain cells in your body, and God brings them up, and they learn a new job.
Wow.
So that's very much of the way that God has used and made me alive again as he continues to live more and
you're
more.
Still having to do therapy. You're still improving every day.
I have become my own therapist. I'm finished with the actual therapy lessons that I have to go to, but I walk on a regular basis. I play the piano to move my right hand, and I talk with so many different people.
Wait, did you play the piano before the wreck?
I did before the accident.
With her left hand.
Yeah. Well, we've got a caller who wants to comment. It's Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing well,
good.
Dave.
We're good. You want to say something to Patty?
Yeah, I just want a quick question. You know, Patty, I'm sure glad that you came through everything and all you've been through, and you're still walking and talking.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've heard that people that have traumatic brain injuries, that they go through personality changes or mood changes. For instance, our pastor had pretty much the same type of accident with a semi that hit him years ago. And he was in a coma for a few weeks, and then when he came out of the coma and he was able to start talking, he would say things that, you know, he would never, normally never say. You know, he'd swear and say, the things that, you know, it wasn't really him. And I've heard Barbara Mandrell say the same thing. You know, she went through some severe mood swings. And I was wondering if anything similar to that might have happened to you.
Yes, Dave. Many of us TBI survivors would totally agree with what you just said. It happens to many of us. In fact, Dave, I've been told in reading with different authors that anyone who has had traumatic brain injury, and if they've been in a coma for more than a few days, that they will suffer from irreversible personality changes. Now, Dave, they may not always be obvious to other people, but family or close friends will always notice the personality changes. And yes, they did affect me because now things, it's more like sometimes I have a hair trigger temper and things can just set me off. And it doesn't give me time to think as to how I will respond. Head trauma just responds instantly with no thinking involved. The only thinking that a head trauma survivor is given is that moment of how to cope to how head trauma affects us. The coping mechanism is the biggest choice that we make and live with.
Wow. So do you still have maybe moments of forgetfulness?
Oh,
or?
Yes. Often. And I often forget so many different things or words, but I laugh at myself and keep going. Otherwise, I couldn't handle it. It would truly go beyond what my brain could handle.
You mentioned that the truck driver, you mentioned a trial. What was he on trial for?
He was on trial for having caused the accident and the injury that I went under and suffered, but also Heather did die. Heather was pronounced dead later that night or the next hour or next morning, the wee hours. And so he was then pronounced, given three life sentences for all of the harm that he caused and the trauma that was caused from what he had done. He wasn't thinking. He was different drugs were found in his system, and he was talking on his cell phone. So he was very unaware of life and what was happening.
Wow, yeah. Wow. We've got another caller. It's Lintry from Wisconsin. Hello, Lintry. How you doing today?
Pretty good, and you, Lori?
Hey, we're good and glad you called. You got a comment or question for Patty?
I sure do. First of all, I'd like to apologize for Patty on behalf of that driver. You know, for the most part, drivers are professional. They out here doing this all day, every day. And, you know, I'd like to, you know, say I'm sorry that that happened to you.
Thank you.
And also, are you originally from America? Because you have an accent.
That's great. I am actually from America. I was born in East Texas.
Oh, okay.
But I think, you know, having gone to college and majored in voice, things changed. So I think in traveling around the world, I've traveled so often, so I think I've picked up a wee bit of accents from different countries.
Hey, Lintry, let me tell you how East Texans talk. They talk like this. They don't open their mouth. I know because I lived there for 4 years, so I got to tell you that if she wanted to have a career in broadcasting, she had to learn to open that mouth, and that's why what you're hearing.
Yeah, you know, and I really do feel God using her ministry to minister to those who have been through trauma with their lives, who have given up on God and turned their back on God. But I just believe God's going to really use your ministry powerfully to, you know, restore those, you know, relationships back to Him.
Amen.
Through your ordeal.
Amen.
Thank
High
you
five
for your
to you, Lintry. High five. Hallelujah.
Lintry, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Lori.
Well, and that was incredibly large of him to really almost accept responsibility and say thank you.
And apologize on behalf
apologize
of
and thank you
yeah.
for
Very
what you're
big.
Doing. Because that's not easy. And, you know, I think that, you know, but he is without sin, cast the first stone. Mm-hmm. I think every one of us is guilty of not paying attention or being on that cell phone and you know, almost hitting a parked car or whatever as you're driving down the road. I mean, that unfortunately will happen. And, you know, you know, it was just big of him. It very much impressed me.
Yeah. And he kind of brought up the idea, but let's keep Patty and her continued recovery in our prayers. We're going to put you up on our prayer wall,
Thank
Patty.
Thank you.
She noticed our prayer wall right off the bat.
That prayer wall is looking less and less like a sound trap, which is what it was designed
now,
for.
Now, what's a sound trap for all of us?
A sound trap. It's just an acoustic conglomeration of foam. And right now, it's just a pincushion with all these prayer requests.
And let's hope that Ray Rayleigh, our engineer, is not listening.
Yeah, I know. He really wants to take that down. Oh, man. Well, let's talk about MAD a little bit. Okay, because one of the things that we do, Patty, around here, and it's kind of coincidental, is that we always, at the end of our show, like to say, go out and make a difference. And I've noticed that you've kind of turned that into a clever little acronym.
This is MAD now. What does that mean?
That is my motto for living, having suffered through traumatic brain injury and live with it. But it stands for Make a Difference Now. And I say that because no one knows how many days we have left here. You don't know. You may be in great health, and you may may be abiding by the rules, but everybody else isn't. And so you've got to make a difference now. When God gives us that opportunity and that occasion, you know, it crosses your mind with that person to call or to write or to just acknowledge, then follow through, make that difference now. And I'm very strong on like Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all the people, especially to those who belong to the household of believers. Make a difference now.
That's great. Mm. Hey, later in our program, we're going to be talking to a firefighter who has a ministry. How do you feel about first responders these days?
I am on their side. High five to the first responders, because life depends on them. We need you. I'm talking to you. And, you know, because I'm told I've even met the different firemen who worked at the accident scene that I was in. But, you know, I don't know what they experience every day, but I know they experienced some wild trauma on June 18th, 2002, and that makes up their life. And so it's incredible that they take the opportunity to really make a difference when life depends on their taking hold and laying hold of that opportunity to help someone and to serve someone. Go out of your way and into the way of another person that would help them and give them something that would be of help to them along the journey of life.
And you know, Patty, I know that you have kind of, it has become your life to be of service to others, and it's something that you certainly have written about, and it's something that you encourage people. And our next guest is very much, is a life of service as well. Can you talk a little bit about what that means and how we can employ that in our own lives?
Yes, I was told in my book, I was asked the question, Patty, how do you describe a success in one word? Mm-hmm. For me, that one word is service. That is success, because it gives a way to others, because I don't believe life is all about me. But it includes me, but it's about everyone in my peripheral vision as well. So serving, walking across that bridge to help someone else in their need.
That's great. Hey, we have a Mel on the line. Comment allez-vous?
Hey, y'all.
I was going to say, that is not East Texas talk right there.
Emil is from New Brunswick.
I did that at one point.
Yeah. Well, you did very well. That was a great accent.
I just go, howdy.
Yeah.
Well, Emil,
I learned well.
Emil, you got a question for Patty?
Well, yeah. I thought so far the story is incredible. Something similar happened. I mean, it wasn't as bad, I guess, but I was hit by a transport truck who was doing about 80 miles an hour while I was at stop. That was about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I escaped without a scratch, but, you know, the rear end of my car and the front end of my car hit the other lady in front of me, and my car was just basically turned into an accordion. Now, obviously, it wasn't anywhere as near as bad as yours, but I can appreciate, you know, everything you've gone through, and, you know, I think the Lord's definitely shining on you to bring you to where you are now and with your great ministry.
And you as well, Emil.
You too, Emil.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it makes you not take things for granted, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Thanks, Emil.
You speak any French, Patty?
Bonjour.
Just throw in an adios.
Well, Patty, we have about 1 minute left. What would you like to leave our listeners with?
I would like to leave the listeners with, never give up. Encourage people. Pass along that encouragement to don't give up. Keep trying. Keep trying. And you're not alone. You're not alone. Ask for help. I know it's hard to do sometimes because pride so stands in our way. But please step out and help someone else and cross that bridge of service to help other people and make a difference now. While you have this moment, live this moment fully for God to glorify himself and to bless others through his work and encouragement that makes a difference now.
Well, you made a difference in our life, Patty Foster.
Thank you
so much for being here. Thanks for being alive.
Thank you for blessing the last 27 minutes.
Yeah, praise God. We'll have more just ahead. Stay with us.